Previously on the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks internet radio program.
I saw a story earlier, Travis, about a DJ who went by the name Muppet Fucker. And he registered the domain name MuppetFucker.net to share his DJ mixes. And the Jim Henson Company, they tracked him down. They said, hey, Muppet Fucker, why don't you knock this shit off? And then he's like, well, should I be Puppet Fucker? And they're like, no, you can't be Puppet Fucker. Puppet Fucker isn't funny. So he just abandoned it. But because they told him to knock this shit off and they had to safeguard their brand from other would-be Muppet Fuckers, they every year have to renew the domain name MuppetFucker.net.
Excellent.
So like every year that bill comes due and they say, God damn it. We gotta pay our $40 Muppet Fucker bill. Strangelabel.com. I'm Mike. Drunk's here with me. Hi, Drunk.
Hey.
The King of Pranks.
You're joined by me.
The albino alligator popcorn bitch, Mr. Travis Hulse, is here. Hi, Travis.
Hey, hello.
And guys, Matt is here as well. Hello, Matt.
Hello.
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. And God damn it, do we have a show for you tonight? There is
so much going on.
So much going on in the world, Travis. And we're here to talk about it. Travis, I got a lot of hope this week. I got a lot of hope because what I've noticed. Now, Travis, when you win the lottery.
You won the lottery?
No, Drunk, I did not win the lottery. I'm getting to a point.
Okay.
When you win the lottery, it's not so much like that you're competing with other people. You got to get the numbers right, you know?
Right.
And so the other people, it doesn't really matter, the other people.
Well, I mean, if they get them right too, you got to split it.
Yeah. But you got to get the numbers right. And there's a lot of number combinations.
Absolutely.
It's hard.
It's hard.
But in a situation where...
It is my current 401k right now.
Like, you're picking names out of a hat. And there's 10 names in a hat. There's 1,000 names in a hat. There's 1,000,000 names in a hat. How many names are in that hat matters.
Sure.
And so...
And typically, it's hundreds of millions of names in that hat. And that's why so few people win that lottery.
What happened this week? Now, you know of the Karen phenomenon that we so in-depth deal with on a day-to-day basis as creatures of the internet. We see these Karens, Travis, and every day there's a new one, and you got to imagine there's a lot of demand for Karens.
I don't know about a demand.
Well, we got to have one every day. It's
gotta
important.
Feed the Twitter sphere.
Don't you feel at this point that if there's a new Karen, we're probably going to get it? I mean, like, somebody's going to find the Karen, they're going to share the Karen, and we can't help but retweet the Karens,
so,
right?
Yeah, people got their heads on a swivel looking for these broads, so I think you're going to get every Karen that's out there.
How long until ABC's next hit sitcom, Karen, comes out?
Oh, there's going to be, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. I don't think they'll air it on any type of public channel just because, you know, they would be too afraid to offend the Karens.
You'd have to beep it, and then you can't really get all their good lines.
So it's got to be like a TBS or an AMC or something.
I don't even know then. It would probably be like a Netflix, because Netflix obviously tends to be
Netflix gives
pretty
no fucks,
liberal with their right. shows.
And they just say, look, all these people, they're being assholes.
Yeah.
And we're gonna watch all the videos of people being assholes, and we're going to say we're going to find where they work.
Well, somebody just bought up John Krasinski's show not too long ago, so I would imagine that somebody is developing something where it's just like America's Funniest Home Karens or something.
You know? Yeah.
Well, Travis, just like, what I was filled with the other day is a great deal of hope, because they found two of the same lady. And so that leads me to believe lightning isn't going to strike twice for the same Karen. We're probably getting all the Karens, and there's not really that many of them. If you were a pessimist, Travis, you might think, oh, man, there's so many bad people out there saying so many bad things. But if that were the case, we wouldn't be pulling the same names out of hats. We had the same lady twice in, like, the same day. It was separate incidents.
I mean, somebody probably followed her around afterwards, right?
No. These are two different people having completely different encounters with this awful woman. Now, this first one, this woman, there was a Asian gal making workout videos on a staircase. And this lady was yelling at her that she shouldn't be hogging the staircase because she wants to walk up the staircase. So this is her.
Next time you ever talk to me like that, you're going to get your ass kicked by my family. They're going to fuck you up.
See, so, and then, like, later on in the same day, she just got into, like, a random argument with some dude out on the street, and they made another video.
Oh, okay, you're making a racist comment right now? You know how many people can't stand you being here?
Oh, great.
You play games. We don't play games.
Oh, what kind of game are you playing?
I play games where you get fucked to death.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
It's a fun game, I hear. but I mean, doesn't that give you hope, Travis? That, I mean, like, this awful woman won the lottery twice? How many could there really be, Travis?
Can you imagine being, like, the most awful type of person that exists, that two separate people in two separate instances capture you being a complete and utter bitch for no reason?
And the internet finds them both and compares them and says, oh, wait, I saw that lady. She was wearing the same hat.
So how often does Karen sit behind you at a concert and make you sit down?
No, what happens is I hate when the people in front of me stand up, and then I got to stand
so
up.
So you're Karen.
No, I mean, I don't bitch about it. I just stand up. But then, like, I feel, oh, God, now I'm going to make the people behind me stand up. And it's a whole thing. Like, if we could all just sit down.
But you're at a concert.
Yeah, but I got a seat. I just want to sit down. Travis, what's the thing you sent, the conspiracy theory with the fireworks?
Oh, yeah, there's been a rash of fireworks across the country for the last handful of weeks.
People think the cops are giving people fireworks?
Well, they're starting about the same time, and people were wondering, and then all these reports came out from all of these different major cities for people to compare. Hey, this is what my fireworks show is like. Hey, this is – and it's not just like normal, regular, everyday, you know, somebody shooting off snakes and sparklers. These are like decent fireworks shows that people are like, why is this happening every single night for 20, 30 minutes of pop?
Hour and a half, 2 hours,
yeah,
3 hours.
Yeah,
shows.
Some of them are going on forever. So one of the big conspiracy theories here – there's a couple of them. One of the big conspiracy theories that I like the most is that the government is trying to condition the populace to be used to like gunfire and mortar sounds. So when they send in the military to take over these cities, that we'll just kind of turn a blind eye and continue watching, you know, Queer Eye on Netflix while they're blowing up our neighborhoods.
Oh, it's probably just fireworks again, right?
No, these fireworks have been going on for weeks. Never mind the tank I just saw drive by.
It's almost 4th of July. It'll be over in a couple weeks.
So I thought that was very interesting that people were coming up with these amazing conspiracies just because they're seeing fireworks in the end of June, as opposed to thinking that people are bored and still under lockdown and are like, fuck it. there's not going to be any fireworks show. I'll have a fireworks show every goddamn night.
I got that free Trump money. I can go buy a bunch of like good professionals.
Hell yeah. Go down to the firework warehouse and talk to old Schmitty behind the counter and say, hey, I got $1,200. I want to light off fireworks for 3 weeks.
$1,200. You can get some good shit with $1,200.
Hey, Schmitty, yeah. Give me the good shit.
Yep, give me a couple cakes.
And if you go and show the guy behind the counter $1,200, he will take care of you.
Well, and if you're getting together with people like in your build, if you live in an apartment building, you're like, hey man, what are you doing with that stimulus check? He's like, I don't know, what the fuck am I supposed to do? We're locked down. He's like, hey, come down to the fireworks barn with me. We'll go talk to Schmitty. We'll set ourselves up. We'll have fun every night.
You go with $200-$300. Yeah, you'll get some all right stuff. You go and show him $1,200 right away. He's going in the back for you.
Nothing on the shelves. What do you got in the back?
A couple of years ago, my father-in-law, he got a bunch of parachutes that like were, you caught them on fire. And then like it's just say, like a they are flaming basket flying around. And then it just goes and lands somewhere.
And they're for the kids. But man, I love the parachutes. The parachutes are the
You know what I used to like? I used to like those helicopters that you lit them and they went zzz. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
I don't ever see those anymore.
You remember those ones that you could put like you'd like put on like a fence or like a tree? You'd have to like tack it into the tree or whatever, and it was the same kind of thing as the helicopters, but they just like spun in a circle while they stayed in place, shooting fucking sparks and shit everywhere.
Good times, Travis. Good times. Oh, those fireworks. I'll tell you what. I don't think I've ever spent a dime on fireworks, but I enjoy them. I enjoy fireworks. If people are shooting off fireworks and I'm around, I'll pull me up a lawn chair, Travis. I'll sit down. I'll watch the show.
Are you the guy that throws pops at people's feet?
No. Dickhead shit. Drunk. Guys, after the break, we're going to be talking to a couple of gentlemen. They made a documentary about the great Danny Trejo. Adam Scorgi and Jode Cardinal are going to be on the show. Adam Scorgi, return guest, drunk. We talked to Adam Scorgi a few years ago. Nice guy. So we're looking forward to that. Travis, I have a great idea, and I'd like to share it with you guys. And I think that you're going to be behind me on this one. I have no idea why you wouldn't be. By the way, my idea last week, I didn't get any positive feedback about it, Travis, but I'm sticking with it. I'm going to come up with the ways to make that work. See, now,
I just told you it needed flushing out. I didn't give you negative feedback, but I didn't give you the great feedback that you were looking
drunk,
for.
Drunk, you know, like when you have to call like your cable provider, or you have to like call and make a doctor's appointment.
The worst.
Nobody wants to do that shit. You pay somebody to do that, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Guys, so Travis, do you remember a few years ago when...
So once again, you're trying to hire a secretary.
Yeah. It's like the fast food of secretaries.
Hey, I need you to call my cable company.
Travis, do you remember a few... Well, I'm not going to harp on that. That's last week. This week, I have an even better idea.
Okay.
Travis, do you remember a few years ago when Logan came out on DVD and Blu-ray and they said, hey, guys... included with Logan is Logan Noir. It's Logan in black and white.
Didn't you have to buy a separate copy to get Noir?
No, it just came with it. But I mean, it was fun. It was like, hey, you want to watch Logan in black and white?
Exact same movie.
Yeah, it's the same movie. Is it a gimmick?
Black and white.
Sure. You remember when The Walking Dead was really popular and they were like, hey guys, come back here next Tuesday and we'll show you this episode in black and white. And people are like, oh, wow, we could watch it in black and white.
Who cares?
Some people must have, right? Because they did it. Is it a gimmick?
I can't wait to travel back in time before color was invented.
Is it a gimmick? Sure. But do you think if they just made HBO black and white, they just made a channel that was black and white, showed movies in black and white.
I don't know if you could call it that, but...
Like TCM?
Well, if HBO did it. Obviously, if it was somebody else, then somebody else would call it their thing. But I'm just using it as an example. Cinemax black and white, drunk.
I don't know if that's proper nomenclature.
We called the Cinemax people. They're like, yeah, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I call it like classic or retro.
And what they do is they take the movies...
Would you rather call it black and Caucasian, drunk?
They take the movies that are on Cinemax, and they just show them to you in black and white. And you get to see your movie in a whole different way, right?
Color free.
What do you mean color free? Oh, I get it. I get it, drunk.
I don't know that that's a good
No.
Good thing to say.
I don't think we're going that far, Drunk. Are we going that far?
Hey, I don't even see color.
Okay.
Well, that's because what we're doing, Travis, is we're taking the color out and we're showing these movies in black and white. You can see them in a whole different way.
You got to stop saying things like take the color out.
Colorless.
Oh, boy. Nope. No,
still,
guys.
Still not better. No.
It's not getting better. No.
Yes, of course, you could probably just like get into your TV settings, and but that takes a whole lot of goddamn work.
Two button presses, probably.
What we're doing is we're just doing a fun thing. Is it a gimmick? Sure. But you don't think this channel would be a channel that people went to?
You're really interested in watching Jurassic World in black and white?
Maybe.
I like my color. I like my four.
Oh, I'm watching Aquaman black and white. It looks like he's just standing on a soundstage.
4K HD.
Well, Travis, obviously we would have to pick films that would benefit from this, like Logan Noir. Only we'll do all kinds of noirs, Travis. Like, imagine watching, what if HBO did, like, The Sopranos noir?
Nope.
You could go back and watch all The Sopranos in black and white.
Nope.
In the chat, Liquid Lozenge says Terminator 2 in black and white might be cool. He's getting in the spirit of things, Drunk.
Maybe Terminator 1, but not Terminator 2.
You know how terrible the climax of that movie would be if you don't see like the color of the freaking molten lava shit that the Terminator is being lowered into?
You don't think you'd know what was going on? Just look like
a sludge pit.
Why is Terminator going swimming?
Why is he saying goodbye to Terminator? He's just getting dumped into a mud tank.
The first Batman when he goes, Jack Nicholson falls into the
ooze. Oh, actually, Batman 89 might be pretty good in black and white.
I'd say there's probably some that would be good, although I don't know about Batman 89 just because like the smoke, like the green,
right,
kind of poison.
There's
a lot of good coloring in
they
that.
Paint the museum and whatnot.
But, I mean, all these movies you've seen before, you don't need to know that the stuff is orange. Travis, you already know the stuff is orange. Right? You're just seeing it in a different way for fun. Like, you're going back and watching Roadhouse for the 300th time, only this time it's black and white. It's a different thing.
This sounds about as cool as if you had a VHS player where the tracking was all fucked up, and so you're just like, I've seen this a bunch of times. This will just be a new way to watch it with all these lines and squiggles and static in it.
Right. This reminds me of trying to catch a glimpse of the booby on the scrambled cable
Spice Channel.
But it's not scrambled, guys. It's a picture. It's just there's no color in it.
But they invented color for a reason.
Yeah, but it's fun.
I guess you would watch like Tarantino movies in black and white and noir style.
This is a gimmick that nobody's going to pay extra. This would have to be, hey, HBO Max is releasing all of these films on HBO Max for 1 week only in black and white because people get super sick of it.
So you're doing this with like Pixar movies too?
Sure.
Cartoons?
Sure, why not?
Wally in black and white?
Yeah, we'll just go crazy, Drunk. We'll do all kinds of fun things. You never know what HBO black and white's going to pull up next. Who Framed Roger Rabbit? Black and white.
Isn't part of that movie already in black and white?
There you go. The whole fucking thing is black and white.
You couldn't pick Roger Rabbit. You couldn't pick a couple of things because you couldn't have a movie that was in color that uses black and white to show you that it's in the past.
Wizard of Oz in black and white. And they bring a whole new dimension to it, Travis. You'd be like, what the fuck?
Yeah, the dimension would be, what is she freaking out about? Everything's the same color and nothing changed right after she took a ride in that house.
Yeah, it was so weird that she saw color for the first time. I mean, like, if I went to the Wizard of Oz, nothing would change for me. I mean, other than it would be weird horses running around and stuff. But, I mean, like, my life is color.
And
her life
was
color. We just didn't invent color film yet. But, I mean, like, you know, she was seeing color. But you got to think about it in perspective, Travis. She ain't like a gray bitch.
Yeah, this idea is not as good as last week's idea.
You hated last week's idea.
I didn't hate last week's idea. I said it needed fine tuning. I loved dump truck Uber. That was a great idea.
Drunk, like I'm still dealing with my goddamn alarm company. My alarm company, they're fucking me. I've talked to them 15 times. One of the last times I called them, they said, "Okay, we'll take that $500 charge that you never agreed to off, but you got to agree to stay with us for 4 years." And I was like, "I mean, fine, I'll stay with you for 4 years. I wasn't planning on leaving." And they're like, "Okay." And so they tacked on the 4 years and they said, "Okay, you got to stay with us for 4 years," but they didn't take the $500 off. So now I just I did my part, but they didn't do their part. And they're still calling me every goddamn day about this $500.
You need to get rid of them and get your own security.
Well, I can't
system.
Get rid of them now, drunk. I have it for 4 more years.
It's called a motherfucking 12.
No, they broke the contract. You can break the contract too. That phone call was recorded. So you can just say, "Hey, they told me this $500 is getting taken off. That's why I signed up for 4 years. I'm not paying it, and I'm not paying any bills until you take it off."
But then what happens, Travis, is they call and make their collection call, and then they say, "Oh, we'll transfer you to the loyalty department." And then I got to sit on hold. I sat on hold yesterday for 8 or 9 minutes, never talked to anybody in the loyalty department, just hung up. And then they called again today because I got tired of it. But I'll tell you what, Travis, if I had my concierge service where somebody makes these calls for me.
No, all you got to do is when they call you, say straight up, "Cancel me. Cancel."
Well, I said that. Say, I said that the last couple times, Travis. And
they say, "Sir, but you signed up for 4 years," and I said, "Yeah, and you also said you'd take this $500 off, so fuck off," and then hang up.
Right.
No, don't hang up. Just make them cancel.
You got to be aggressive, and man. You got to get aggressive.
A loaded 12 gauge, and that's your home security system.
You put a 9mm in your bedside nightstand, and forget it. You don't need them.
And a baseball bat. I know you got one.
Yeah,
of those.
Tell them you're coming down there with a baseball bat.
I'm gonna go down there with a baseball bat, Matt.
You tell them, "Hey, you know what our country is going through right now? All the cops are busy. I'm gonna come pay you a visit unless you take that $500 off.
If you don't take that $500 off,
breaks
I'm
into your house,
Travi people.
You yell, yeah.
If you don't
I'm
take
armed
that $500 off, I'm gonna force you to watch Wizard of Oz in black and white."
Have you ever heard of the albino alligator? Because I'm good friends with the albino alligator.
Guys,
you ever see Logan Noir?
I watched it, Travis. It was fun.
It was fun.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, it's the same movie, just in black and white, Matt.
It's got a certain tone to it. It's these movies that have certain tones to them that you can, you know, black
Travis,
and white. Travis,
I am going to designate you as the official movie picker for my new station, HBO Ooh. Black and White. You just go through all the movies and you pick the best ones, Travis, the ones that would be fun in black and white, and we'll watch them, Travis. We'll watch them.
I got my first one. It is on HBO currently. Dick Tracy. We're going to black and white. Dick Tracy.
Good call.
Thank you. Dick Tracy would be great in black and white, Travis.
Yep.
And we would watch it, and we'd say, "Oh, this brings a whole new dimension to this fucking thing."
And then you'd have to watch it again because you'd miss Warren Beatty's banana colored coat.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd know it's there. You've seen it before.
Yeah. I know what color the kids watch is. I don't need to see the color.
Guys, reach out to us. Tell us what movies you think would be the best in black and white, because I think it's a good idea, and fuck these guys. I'm ahead of my time, Travis. We've learned time and time again. Years will pass, and then somebody will come up with it, and then somebody will send me the link. And they'll say, "Mike, wasn't this your idea?" And I'd say, "Yeah, I'm ahead of my time." I'll quote.
Yeah, but I'm too lazy to do anything about any of my ideas. It's all my co-host's fault.
I still haven't seen the shower nozzle pad yet.
What, Mike's bath buddy?
What was the condiment thing that you had?
The condiment gun? Yeah.
The condiment gun.
I'll tell you what. If there was an industrious motherfucker, go back through the archive, Travis, they'd make $1 billion.
The bacon restaurant, whatever.
So,
oh my god, I was a little offended for you there, Mike.
Yeah, right. You see how he discounts me, Matt? Dunkin' Donuts did the bacon thing.
Yeah, but they also sell, you know, donuts.
They just
and
sell
coffee.
Bags of bacon. They're like, yeah, well, this is the thing
sell
we sell now.
Sandwiches.
You know what? I've gone to Dunkin'
eggs,
Donuts a couple times, and I've said, "Hey, can I get that bag of bacon?" They always say we're sold out.
How can they be sold out of bags of bacon?
I just think they don't want to make them, Matt, because they're always sold out.
Literally a bag with bacon in it. Can they not make bacon sandwiches anymore because they're no bacon?
Wouldn't a place like that pre-make all the bacon and just keep it like?
Yeah, how are they running out of bacon? I don't understand.
Bacon is just fine hours later. If you can sit it under a heat lamp, it's fine.
Yeah, are you guys saying you think that they're messing with me?
I think it's like Jack in the Box after 10 o'clock. If you ask for a shake and they say the shake machine is down, it's bullshit.
Yeah, we're cleaning
it's
it.
It's broken.
Bullshit.
We just cleaned it.
You're a 24-hour restaurant. You should have your ice cream on at all times.
My friend Kevin, he had the best line ever when they would say, oh, we're cleaning the shake machine. He said, that's okay. I'll take a dirty shake. He said it all the time. And they always just said, no, sir, can't do dirty shakes. That's probably what those cops at the Shake Shack did.
Dirty shake.
They said, hey, I'll just take a shake. And they said, no, we're cleaning it. And they said,
see,
okay.
Now that's an idea, a bacon vending machine.
Sick and tired of all these people.
Why is that an idea?
About what's the deal with
because
this pop life? And what
vending machines are way less overhead than buildings.
Okay, so you go to the vending machine, you swipe your card, and then it grills you some bacon?
Yeah.
And then it just pops it out the little thing in a little cup?
Yep.
And you just have a couple slices of bacon?
Yep. You know, Japan's got the pizza vending machines.
Then it accidentally pours coffee into the cup full of bacon, and you got bacon coffee.
Probably be pretty good, actually, Travis.
Yeah, it probably wouldn't
remember,
be bad.
Remember Burger King when they had the fucking bacon sundaes? Oh, those were so good.
Bacon sundaes?
Yeah.
Is it just like a sundae with some bacon bits on top?
Sunday? No, it was actual bacon.
Sunday,
hot fudge
Sunday.
And caramel sauce with bacon.
Guys, what we're going to do, we're going to take a break. We're going to pick up Adam Scorgi and Jode Cardinal. We're going to talk to them about their new movie. It's called Inmate Number One, The Rise of Danny Trejo. Very excited about all of that, guys. Stick around. We'll be back.
Dubfod goes hard.
Aunt Jemima has been a staple in American kitchens since 1890. Though the character isn't a real person, like the Kool-Aid Man or Tony the Tiger, she was designed by a white man to sell you pancakes. Us here at Quaker Oats have read The Room and decided now was the time to usher in a new era.
Nobody's tapping trees out here like Uncle Travy.
With Uncle Travy's tree jizz, you won't have to worry about any racist stereotype on the bottle. Just the sweet, sticky goo you'll be squeezing out of all part of an unproblematic breakfast.
All right, fellas, let's do this. My name's Danny Trejo. You might have seen me once in a while.
Desperado, Heat.
Dust Till Dawn.
Con Air.
Machete.
They make movies and stories about guys like Danny. Danny is that guy.
Danny was in a high-stakes world from a very young age.
Addicted to heroin since he was 12.
He was just a kid caught up in the game.
I had a sawed-off shotgun and a hand grenade. I buried him, and I told my mom, be real careful in the backyard.
This is a guy who's seen death just to get to 16 years old. It's like the Wild West.
You're gonna be a criminal. Be a criminal 24 hours a day.
Wow. His name rang through every prison. They knew he was coming. They always knew he was coming.
I'm gonna be top predator no matter what. It's clear they're gonna kill me. I made a promise to myself, start trying to do good. I became a drug counselor.
An opportunity to help somebody one night got him into his first movie.
My career took off immediately. The first 5 years, I just played inmate number one.
Cholo number one.
SA number one.
Number 10.
Eddie Bunker, screenwriter, goes, "You're Danny Trejo."
He says, "We're not movies that people are afraid of you." I wanted to say, "Why me?"
Quentin and I were coming up with a bunch of fake trailers. I said, "I got a fake trailer. It's Machete."
It changed the paradigm of who could be a leading man.
Everything good that has happened to me has happened as a direct result of helping someone else. Everything.
It's the idea that I can evolve.
That's Danny's life.
And now we pause to let the other stations catch up.
This is Strange Label, the best in internet radio.
Looking for the perfect gift for your young ones? Look no further. Dixco presents the Mike Moore doll. This 10-inch hero will complement the collection of kids young or old.
I keep it in the box so it retains its value. Hashtag Team Mike.
You can pose him, you can move his mouth, or you can dress him up in lady clothes. It's your doll, we aren't going to tell you how to use it.
His narcissism is so lifelike.
The Mike Moore doll even includes three classic Mike scenes.
We have a great show tonight, guys. I like feet. Eat lead, Cobra.
Don't miss your opportunity to own a mic of your own. Go to WFODix.com and get one today. Supplies are limited. Act now.
When God says kill, you kill. To make a point. Once again,
WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
Guys, welcome back. Our guest tonight is the president of Upstream Flicks. His new documentary, Inmate Number One, The Rise of Danny Trejo, will be available July 7th. Jode Cardinal is on the program. How's it going, man?
Yes.
Are you doing good?
It's great. It's been going very well. We have a great lead up with this Trejo documentary, so it's been fun. It's very fun.
You worked on all. We've had Adam on before. We had him on when he did the Ice Guardians, and you were involved in that one too. You're involved in all of them, aren't you?
Yeah, Adam and I have basically been a team for almost 9 years. He does. He has a tag as creative hustler. He's very active on set. I'm not nearly as glamorous, but I do help with the financing and I do all the distribution deals. And
so you're like the advocate for it, to get it in theaters and stuff, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yep, we figured out a model on how to make sure a documentary gets seen, because it is very hard. Banging on a lot of doors, working with a lot of different organizations. We also just did Making Coco, the Grant Fuhr story in St. Louis.
Jode, I just watched that like two nights ago, and it was great. I follow Adam. And I see you guys are hustling, man. You guys are putting out stuff at like a crazy pace. But and they get away from me because, you know, sometimes they're not available right away. And it's like, you know, I saw the trailer for the Grant Fuhr documentary and I was like, geez, I want to see that. And then like by the time now it's on Amazon Prime. Now you can just watch it. But, you know, by the time you can just watch it, you guys are already talking about your next one, and it gets by me. I missed it, but
yeah. You know what? So that's my Prime account. So I trigger that. I'm also a distributor, because it was very hard finding people who would always believe in our stuff. And Ice Guardians, you know, is about enforcers in the NHL. And we were trying to release it, and people were saying, "Oh, we really love your NBA film." And I'm like, "Guys, it's the NHL." So it's super embarrassing for them, for us. And we just said, forget it. Let's just be our own distributors. So we pounded on pavement. We booked theaters ourselves. We did a theatrical release for a hockey fighting documentary in the UK, if you can believe it. And we sold out everywhere.
Ice Gardens
it was
great.
Incredible. So, making Coco, I said, you know what, let's just release this because of the pandemic that was happening. And we didn't have a great plan in the U.S. at the time. So it was like, let's get eyeballs on this. So I'm glad you saw it. I appreciate that.
I have not seen the Danny Trejo one yet, but it comes out July 7th, I guess, on video on demand. I guess there aren't theaters, so I don't need to ask you if you're getting any theatrical on that.
Yeah.
Danny Trejo is like a matinee, not like a matinee icon, but like he's like an iconic presence. Do you feel like a documentary about Danny Trejo would play in like a drive-in?
You know what? I wish we were on top of the drive-in thing because Danny has such a genre cult following, and that's what all of like so many of the drive-ins were doing. So I wish we were on top of that a little more, but we had a plan. And it fell apart, and we couldn't put something else together because, you know, it takes a lot of money to have that type of lead time into everything. And we just said, you know what, we were very happy that Universal picked it up. This is our first studio film, so
congratulations!
We just let them roll with it. Thank you. Yeah, it's been a big deal for us, and it's been a lot different, and we've been more hands off. But I mean, Danny is a huge Hollywood celebrity, and it kind of warranted it this time. And they have, you know, the press machine that's pushing Danny all over the place, and I'm reading about him in, you know, various magazines in the UK because it was released a couple days ago in the UK, and you know, Empire magazine, The Guardian, The Times, they're all covering him, front page entertainment, and it's been a blast. Feel very honored to be associated with the film, and you know, people are taking to it kind of how we were hoping because Danny's story is incredible and he's a great guy too.
You feel like that's going to open up more doors for you having Universal having picked up this Danny Trejo documentary for future projects?
Well, I sure hope so. I'm not sure what else we can do at this point. you know, we just hope people start to see our track record. More importantly, if there's content and really cool story ideas, they come to us. You know, we are just a smaller kind of Canadian outfit and just put a lot of effort into these really great stories. Don't rush anything. What you'll notice with Danny's is it's not celebrity driven. It's about this, you know, kid who was doing heroin at the age of 12, armed robberies in his early teens, and in prison for his whole 20s. And you know, everyone knows he was in Heat, and you know, his Machete, and even kids know him,
right?
Spy Kids. But I mean, his life is incredible. He essentially lived three lives we often talk about. He had, you know, his youth crime life, and then he left prison and became a counselor. A drug counselor, and traveled all over North America for
without spoiling too much. What was the turnaround? What was it that changed for him that made him one of? I mean, was there like a come
There's
to
a
Jesus moment?
I know a very specific moment. He was on death row.
Ooh.
And he just prayed to God that he would find a way. You know, he didn't actually think he was going to live. He just didn't want to, you know, embarrass his mother or his family. And he said, if I can get out of this, I'll change my ways. And it just so happened there was a prison guard who couldn't 100% identify how a prison riot started. And Danny, you know, was taken off of death row and given a second chance and very quickly turned his life around. And you know, here he is today. That's kind of why it feels like he has had multiple lives. There's so much he's done each stage of his life.
And Joe, isn't Danny Trejo a little bitty guy? Isn't he like really short?
Yeah, but he's really tough looking.
Oh yeah, no, he short, looks he looks super tough.
I'd say he's probably got to be about 5'8", 5'9".
Oh well, that's not too bad.
It's not too bad. He carries himself, though. I mean, he was a boxer within the prison system, too. I thought he got noticed on Runaway Train. He was out helping out one of his sponsors who asked him to come on set. And one of the co-writers recognized him because he was also in San Quentin prison and said, hey, aren't you the boxing champion of San Quentin, Danny Trejo? And he's like, I am. And so, yeah, he's a tough dude. It's interesting. He's a very nice guy, but he still doesn't necessarily, he can't really shake that mean demeanor about his face until you start talking to him. His resting position is mean looking.
Right.
It's interesting. Like, he just looks mean until you start talking to him, but then he's a lovely guy.
So what was it that made you, I mean, obviously it's a great story, but how did this come about? How did you want to make this, or did somebody want to make it and they hired you?
Well, we had a producer who was working on a scripted film called Cartel 2045, and Danny was a character in it. And he came to us and he actually helped us with some of our other docs and said, you know what? You guys are the doc guys. Have you heard Danny's story? It's incredible. And we thought, oh, really? Like, we kind of know Danny Trejo. Are you sure? And they're like, no, go research him. So we researched him. We agreed. We reached out to incredible director Brett Harvey. Brett also did Ice Guardians and he did The Culture High. And we said, Brett, you should check this out. And Brett put together the most incredible pitch book. We flew down to LA, met with Danny. Danny said, guys, I love this. All you got to do is convince my agent. And he said, but I'm keeping this pitch book, because he just loved it. And thankful to Brett, because he really fought a lot for this story and to let it breathe and make it feel like a feature doc and not just, a 1 hour bio doc that you can often see on like entertainment channels and stuff. This is nothing like that. This is hard hitting. You get in the depths of crime, what it's like to live in Pacoima. And he still lives there today. You know, he literally goes by the stores that he robbed with a sawed off shotgun. And he'll point to them. You'll drive by and he's like, that's Dale's Market. Like, I robbed that one. And up there, those guys are used to play poker up there, and I've robbed them before too.
Do you think any poor gas station attendants like see him in movies and say, I know that guy.
Yeah, they just got a nervous twitch all of a sudden. They weren't sure how they knew that guy, but they're twitching.
Right? Yeah, they can't place it. The PTSD kicks in.
Yeah, exactly. They're all of a sudden, they just don't. They're like, there's something about the movie Heat I don't like. I'm not sure why, but I can't watch it. It freaks me out.
It seems like you guys have a pretty tight group that you guys can get a phone call from someone saying, hey, this might make a great doc. And you talk to your director and he's like, oh, yeah, amazing. And puts it together and you guys go and pitch it. Like, I mean, it seems like your team is like really tight and focused.
Yeah, we just got very specific at what we did and we told everyone. We really started. Well, Adam, he started out a marijuana documentary first. He did two of them. And if you type in, top marijuana docs, number one and number three are basically belong to him, the Union and the Culture High.
Is the second one Doug Benson's Super High Me?
You know what? I don't even know what the second one is. but these ones are like these docs were actually used and shown to the Canadian government as part of the reason, why they should legalize marijuana in Canada. It's pretty it's not hard hitting, but it's very, very informative and kind of sheds a lot of the misconceptions about marijuana. But since that time, and then we kind of moved into the sports space because we just knew that world very well, particularly hockey. And then we just kind of stuck with the bio side of things and, told the story that not everyone may know about, and it's niche enough that we can target them and make sure we got investors and stuff like that. We had to make sure, things were safe and we had to pick the right people. But yeah, we have a great team, really proud of it all and always looking for the next story. And, hopefully we talk again about Michael Bisping from UFC fame.
Oh, you guys have been talking about that one lately. That one's already in the can, or did that one get interrupted by COVID?
fully, we ran into a little bit of issues, but we're well into post right now and we're just wrapping it up. So that'll be the next one to hit the market. And BizBang's a great dude as well with a story that a lot of people just didn't know about, or sometimes you just get pieces of them. And that's kind of like Danny's story. You may have heard bits of it, but to see it all together, strung together, right, it's just a pretty remarkable. And I mean, even after filming, there was that story. I literally pitched the film, and then 4 days later, I see front page everywhere in the news, Danny Trejo saves kid from a car. Like,
I saw that too.
I followed up and said, hey,
things move really fast.
You're not interested in this film. Yeah. So he's Danny Trejo, man. He's a superhero.
Travis, the upstream distribution with Adam and Joe reality show, don't you think? Like, do like a Property Brothers thing, right?
Oh, no, this is like a Project Greenlight, right? Like, we want to see from the time they come up with an idea all the way through carrying out the actual filming of the thing. And then, yeah, I think that would be remarkable.
Yeah, get all the behind the scenes stuff. I'd watch that.
Yeah, I mean, hey, we spitball a lot of ideas, and it's a pretty exciting process because you don't know when you're going to get your next person or your next subject. And I mean, we've pitched some and, you know, aiming pretty high and it falls through. And then other ones, you know, we're pitching some boxing people right now that we're pretty excited about. It'd be a pretty fun reality show, I think. There's a lot of excitement down there. And then you throw it in every once in a while with a few red carpets and, you know, some good entertainment.
Do you get to eat at Trejo's Tacos for free now for the rest of your life?
I'm sure Danny wouldn't mind at all. We have enough of his swag, that's for sure, and maybe a coffee as well at his donut place.
Oh, I didn't know he had a donut place. Where's his donut place?
Also in the LA area.
Is it Danny's Donuts?
Did you know about his? Yeah. What about his cookbook? Have you seen his cookbook yet?
Hey, Trejo's got a cookbook.
Makes
Trejo's
sense,
got a cookbook. Yeah, He's pretty slick with all that stuff, you know. So he's got a family he takes care of a big community of people. It was actually kind of bizarre. Sometimes during filming, we were shooting, and he'd stop, and in his trunk, he keeps, you know, extra pairs of socks and some food and stuff like that. And, you know, if he sees someone struggling on the side of the street, he'll stop by and, you know, help how he can. And it's not just, you know, a facade he puts on. His son was saying the same thing, that he tries to just put like a duffel bag into the trunk to go to the gym. And sometimes there's just so much stuff in there that Danny gives away. He can't even find space. So
that's amazing.
Yeah. He's a pretty good dude. Yeah. He states like everything good, you know, that's happened to him as a result of him helping others and others helping him. So he lives by that mantra every single day. And wherever he shoots, he talks to his agent and his manager and says, look, if I'm in, you know, let's say somewhere in Arizona, he organizes some type of prison visit, talks a lot to youth in prison, you know, reminds them that, you know, there was nothing cool about prison and what he did. It looks glamorous, but you know, he thinks, you know, it was really one of the worst things that happened to him, for obvious reasons, but wants to make sure that nothing's glamorized and that, you know, you can truly see you can change your life. And you know, you can rewrite your own story and to see it happen over and over again, these examples. And we filmed it many times. You can only put a couple in the film or else it feels kind of weird.
Right.
But yeah, you kind of look at yourself a little bit in the mirror to make sure you're doing enough for the world too, just hanging out with this guy.
I was going to say, Mike, don't you think you would do well by serving some time in prison so you become a better person?
Great idea. I think we should get Mike in prison.
What are you trying
Let's
to
get
say,
Mike in prison
guys?
So he becomes better.
I'm a really good person.
I mean, come on.
Compared to Danny,
how often do you give away part of your half sausage, half pepperoni pizza to somebody that looks like they need it?
It never happens, Travis, but I'm
right,
willing to
exactly
entertain offers.
Keep your eyes open.
So guys, the movie is Inmate Number One, The Rise of Danny Trejo. It will be on video on demand July 7th. And I'll tell you guys, these movies that Adam and Joe are putting together, they're two for two with me. And I have a feeling that Just from the trailer, that the Danny Trejo one is gonna, you're gonna be at a point where it's just gonna be required viewing. Like when one of them comes out, you're gonna have to watch it because they're really good, Joe. The movies that you guys are putting together are top notch stuff.
Thanks. I'll cut you off. Thank you so much. That's amazing to hear you say. I'm patting myself in the back right now. But no, we do appreciate that. And we feel that we have started to create a fan base that is looking for our next one. And that means a lot. And it actually, that's partly how we pick some of our next films, is to make sure we're still talking to that same group of people, because they really have been there since the beginning. And we haven't been able to do any of this without them. But this one has tons of hype around it. It is extremely exciting. We can't wait for people to actually see it. You know, reviewers are coming out right now and we couldn't be happier with it. So, you know, it's a pleasure to speak to you guys about it. And yeah, please check out all of our other stuff and Inmate in about a week from now. It's good.
Where can people find you guys online?
Well, the film's at Trejo Doc, basically all social media channels. And then ScoreG, S-C-O-R-G. That's Adam, and it's his kind of production company that pumps all that stuff through. And I'm Upstream Flicks with an X at the end, kind of like Netflix, but Upstream Flicks. Just kind of type her in the interweb and you'll find us.
Joe, we appreciate you hanging out with us for a bit. When the UFC one comes out, we'll do it again.
That sounds great. We appreciate it. Yeah, I'd love to be on again.
Appreciate it,
Joe. Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
Take care.
All right, guys. Take it easy. Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers to you.
Travis. I like Joe. You know, I think that Adam was trying to get in, but I mean, why stop a good thing? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, don't slow down the momentum.
Yeah, well, we've already talked to Adam. And by the way, Adam was late, so don't follow him. Follow Joe.
I think it's beneficial for their careers that you follow both, right?
Follow both of them. And exactly. Follow both and the doc. That's nice. That's a good time. I'm very excited to see this documentary, actually. You know, there's certain guys like that. You know, Danny Trejo is kind of infamous in some of his roles that he's had. And it was the same thing as, like, I watched, there's a Kane Hodder documentary, you know, Kane Hodder, who's done the Hatchet movies behind the latex. And he was Jason for a handful of movies and stuff too.
I do like enough led with the Hatchet movies, not Jason.
Well, I mean, he was Jason for a few. He's been Hatchet for four. He's been Hatchet for more times than he was Jason. So
is he, I thought Kane,
Kane did, 7, 8, and goes to he did 4. Yeah, you're right, it's tied. He did 7, 8, Goes to Hell, and Jason X,
and he did, and he was Hellraiser.
Did he not do Freddy versus Jason?
No, that's a sore subject for him too, because he was Jason at the time.
They replaced him because they wanted somebody with more sympathetic eyes.
They wanted somebody taller, actually, is what they wanted. But I mean, it's the same kind of thing, and Kane Hodder has an amazing backstory. And you can see that also on Amazon Prime. But I mean, like, Danny Trejo, you know, just like Joe said, you hear snippets of what this guy has gone through and how he has changed his life completely. But I am super excited to see,
you know, back,
the entire narrative put
back
together.
When Howard Stern was still good, he interviewed Danny Trejo and they did the whole Danny Trejo story. And it was a great interview. That was back when I still listen to Howard, and Howard was still good. So, I mean, just from hearing that, I know it's going to be good because it's a great story.
I'm excited. I actually want to watch it.
Travis, let me ask you a question.
Yeah, do it. Ask me.
Do you have what you would say?
It's like, don't do it.
Pick of the week, Travis, something you want the people to know about?
Oh, this week, Travis's pick of the week is the series Wolf Creek, based on the motion picture Wolf Creek and Wolf Creek 2, with the lead character Mick Taylor. I guess the lead character would be the wrong way. He is the killer in these motion pictures. There are 2 seasons available. A couple of years back, I saw part of the first season on the Pop Network. And then obviously the Pop Network for me disappeared because it got rid of all cables and things like that. But it's now available. Wolf Creek season one and season two available right now.
Wolf,
on Shudder.
Wolf Creek? Isn't Wolf Creek. Isn't that somebody's production company? Isn't that a,
it's,
isn't that like it's, a,
oh, you're thinking about Morgan Creek.
No, no,
oh, that, Morgan Creek.
No, Wolf Creek is at the end of every Law and Order episode. Ain't it?
No, that's Dick Wolf Productions.
Oh.
Did it used to be Wolf Creek, Travis?
No.
Yeah, I think we lost Travis.
What happened to Travis?
I think we lost him.
Oh, what?
No. I hear you, Travis. I heard your what?
Of course you do. I'm right here.
Drunk pick of the week?
Yeah, drunk pick of the week is inmate number one, the Danny Trejo story. Go,
Did you see the trailer for it, Trump?
I did.
Looks great, doesn't
looks,
it?
Looks amazing.
Do you watch documentaries? Are you a documentary guy?
I mean,
you watched Ice Guardians.
I watched Ice Guardians. Now that I didn't know the Grant Fuhr thing.
Grant Fuhr one's on Amazon Prime.
I'm gonna go catch that if I will have seen that by the end of the week. Now.
I'll tell you what, Grant Fuhr, he broke down a lot of barriers. He was the first African American hockey player to go into the NHL Hall of Fame, but for me, he was a big deal because he was one of very few left-handed goalies.
Yeah.
And
Rick DiPietro.
And when I was a young goaltender
and Roman Peric,
I had to wear a baseball glove because couldn't find full right gloves.
Right. Is that the documentary that Jode was talking about called The Making of Coco?
Making Coco, yeah.
Making Coco, yeah. He had, when before we joined back up with the call, he actually said that they premiered that in St. Louis and name dropped a theater that, you know, I would assume he thought I was also from St. Louis.
It was the Tivoli, probably, right? Was it the Tivoli?
I can't remember what he said it was, but you would have reacted differently than I did. I was like, oh, really?
Yeah.
You would have been like, oh, I know that place.
Right.
But yeah, I also caught another one during COVID, you know, lockdown.
Oh, another documentary?
You remember the Rock of Fire explosion?
No.
So that was the band at Chuck E. Cheese before Chuck E. Cheese.
What?
Yeah.
Rock of Fire?
The Rock of Fire explosion.
Are you talking about when it was Showbiz and it was the Rat?
No Rat. It was a... There was like
before a Chuck E. Cheese, it was a rat.
No, Chuck E. Cheese is a rat.
Yeah, but it was a different rat. It kind of looked like the Muppet rat.
It was a monkey.
At Showbiz Pizza,
yeah.
Where a kid can be a kid.
Listen,
a kid
Drunk just saw this documentary.
YouTube it. It's the Rock of Fire explosion. And man, you thought the Tiger King was crazy.
It was.
This is equally as crazy.
What do you mean explosion?
That's the name of the band, the Rock of Fire Explosion.
Oh, so there nothing exploded?
No.
But it was a documentary about this band?
Yes.
The animatronic band that played at Showbiz Pizza where a kid can be a kid.
Correct.
I need to see this documentary.
You do need to see this documentary.
This sounds amazing, Drunk. That sounds like that's going to be my pick of the week, Matt. I ain't even seen it yet, but this sounds awesome. Like a whole backstory?
Well, they go through the backstory, and then, you know, once they shut down, you know, people our age kind of has the memories and tried to, you know, there's a guy who found the creator of the Rock of Fire explosion, and he's got it all set up in his basement. And now, you know, he has him playing fucking Beyonce and shit in his basement. And, you know... I'm not going to give too much of it.
Matt, I don't know if you remember this, but years ago, we interviewed the guy who is the voice of Chuck E. Cheese. We had him on the program.
Did?
Yeah. He is the voice of Chuck E. Cheese and the lead singer of the band Bowling for Soup. And he was on the program. Fun fact.
Oh, that's right.
Matt, pick of the week, Matt.
You know, I'll give you guys the I'm Not Okay With This show on Netflix. Pretty great.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen The Floor is Lava yet?
The Floor is Lava.
I have seen The Floor is Lava, and I found it to be very annoying.
I watched some of the first episode. First, the host sucks.
It's fine.
That guy sucks.
It's fine.
In the very first episode, there's these three triplet guys, and they are the douchiest three guys.
It's about what you expect.
Oh, yeah. They were terrible.
They were terrible.
Follow up on Extreme Tag. Did you watch Extreme Tag yet?
No.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
I forget I said anything.
You got to remind me later in the week in the messages. That way I could be like, oh, yeah, Extreme Tag. All right.
What Drunk needs, Travis, I think, is...
I'll never watch it again. It was just because we were in some shitty motel that I watched it. But
Drunk needs like a secretary service that he can just call and tell them, hey... Call me on Wednesday and remind me about Extreme Tag.
Right.
All right, I gotta go.
Wednesday at 9 p.m.
I gotta go, you guys.
Guys, we did it. Thank you. We'll do it again probably pretty soon. Probably about a week from now. So we'll see you. Bye. Bye.
I'm Dill Danis.
Thank you for listening to this installment of WFOD. Join us live every Tuesday night at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. And be sure to check out all the other great shows that station offers. You can download past episodes of our lengthy catalog or enjoy other premium content on our website found at wfodshow.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram at WFODix. You can also follow Matt at The Lotus Cast, Travis at Produce Travis, or Drunk at DrunkardSTL on the Twitters. You can email any of us, Mike, Travis, Matt, or Drunk at WFODshow.com. You can give us a call when we're live or when we're not. The number there is 636-487-HAND. Special thanks, as always, to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz and Liquid Lozenge.
If you'd like to be a Patreon sponsor, it's patreon.com/WFODix. We'll be back next week. Thanks again. Goodbye.
Of good stuff happening. It's going to be juicy. You'll see. All right. Bye for now. Take good care of yourself. Bye.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility.
I take responsibility.
Mike, was that you?
I take responsibility.
Thank you, Sarah Paulson.